sure can.
Are we racing anything tonight?
Hi.
So first off, was it just odd having an opportunity to practice before Paul?
It was definitely an awkward practice session. It's just so laid back. Like, you know, it was, I don't know. I think we had a couple, everyone was on different agendas. I don't even really know what to think of it. It was kind of like, why are we doing this?
Was it to be able to at least get on track just to make sure the car doesn't have any gremlins, or was there no real concern even for that?
I mean, my team did. Yeah. So the mechanics joked around about not running practice today, but Adam, of course, is being the leader that he is. He goes, no, we have to do this. We have to dot our I's and cross our T's. But me, I had no concern. I knew that it would be completely fine.
I'm curious, last night getting back in the late model, you've been racing a lot throughout the off season, but to get back onto asphalt for 200 laps, what does that do just to get your body back into the rhythm of a longer race? Anyway?
Well, I didn't expect it to be long, and it ended up being a freaking cup race length. But I mean, I think the conditioning is good. You know, it any time that whenever you get into June, July, you've been in the car for so long, you've been doing these races, it feels normal and it becomes like, I don't want to say easier, but like, you know what to expect. And then, you know, the start of the year, certainly Daytona, it's a speedway, Atlanta's a speedway now, but by the time you get to COTA, like COTA Phoenix, those are races that get your attention. So getting, you know, the Clash was a good acclimator, and yeah, last night was a little bit too. I don't know. It's all going to depend on the schedule. So, you know, I was really excited about yesterday just being a one-day show, being able to, you know, not spend multiple days there racing or practicing was really good. That was one thing that I didn't really care about late model racing as a kid, was just how long the events were. So, yeah, if the schedule works out, I would probably do it again. It's weird. It's weird. I'm taking it all in, though, right? That's for sure. You're saying my, like, extracurricular racing? I don't know. I'm always kind of a go-with-the-flow type of person. Like, I didn't know I was running that late model race until yesterday afternoon. Or I guess it would have been, yesterday, Tuesday? It would have been Monday afternoon. I didn't know I was running that race. So, you know, I'm sure that I'll be racing quite a bit, but I'm not going to, you know, publish a schedule and just kind of, you know, see where it goes and what's available, what cars are out there. And yeah. I hope it keeps me sharper. You know, the more that you race, we don't have really any practice. So there's no seat time or very little seat time compared to, what I'm used to. So hopefully, you know, being in the seat will help me perform better on Sundays. And that's what it's all about. Got the best average finish of the last 2 years, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% skill.
Well, what is the mindset coming into the 500, and what is this race? What is the opportunity to race for this win?
Yeah, the Daytona 500. It's a huge event. It's a huge race. You know, it just even running all of my other races that I've got to do, everyone talks about this race. Like, you know, it's all about Daytona. It's all about Daytona. So I'm honored and I'm thrilled and blessed to be in this opportunity to get to compete for another Daytona 500. But with that being said, the race itself is a lot of luck, and we've come out on the good end of it for the last couple of years now, and we'll go roll the dice again. So I'm sure that the racing has kind of honed into the fuel conservation and the strategy of how the green flag cycle works. That's going to be super important. Hopefully we're on the winning side of it, and you know, we can control, we're going to try and do our best to control what we can control, and miss the wrecks and be, you know, away from the wrecks. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. Always is. I would rather not have.
So you're okay if we come back
which is... Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I told them this practice was just really weird because nobody, you know, it just didn't feel necessary. Like, it kind of felt like we were just out there, you know, spinning our wheels a little bit. Yeah, and then he comes over here. We have the most we've ever had. So this is not going to be a fair shake for Briscoe. We've been telling him how bad Speedway racing is on the Toyota side, and now we almost have a third of the field. So that's really good. Hopefully it means that this race will look different for us. You know, we've always kind of blamed it on numbers, and now we don't have that excuse. We're going to have the numbers.
Your car has a little bit of mix. The wall and Interstate is kind of a cool-looking car. Can you talk about how your relationship with those guys is continuing?
Yeah, it's been good. Last year was the first year that we had Interstate and DeWalt, the co-brand. We did it at Daytona and Phoenix last year, and then I think this year's the same way. Looking over here, Nancy. Yes, so we'll have Interstate and DeWalt at Daytona and to close the season at Phoenix. It's a really good partnership. All DeWalt and Interstate, you got to have electric tools, you got to have batteries with it. So I'm sure that they're working together to get something going. Yeah, is that the one I'm in? Yeah. Okay. Well, I made a cameo in a commercial. I didn't know that was it. But big time actor over here.
You've been really busy this week running Evolution with World Vile Sprint Cars. You just ran last night at Smyrna ASA. How does it help you personally to get behind the wheel right before you go to the biggest race of the year?
I just hope it keeps me sharper. And you know, whenever I get behind the wheel, I certainly have raced more than most. This off season, and hopefully that pays dividends once we get the season started, and specifically this first race.
We've seen a lot of smiles because of that. Is there a little extra joy that you've been able to kind of get back to the racing rhythm that you love across all corners?
Yeah, it's refreshing. You know, the dirt racing is so raw, and it feels like the driver makes a difference way more so than on asphalt. So, I've enjoyed that because, you know, you go asphalt racing and you kind of feel like your hands are tied to the equipment, to the car. And dirt racing, you're able to overcome that. And, the good drivers typically shine.
You obviously drive for an owner that has had a lot of success in the 500 over the years. You have a teammate that's had a ton of success in this race. Do you feel any extra pressure coming here for this one in particular?
I mean, not any more pressure than what it is, right? You know, the Daytona 500 is the granddaddy of them all. So, I'm well aware of that, and I'm excited about the opportunity, but we all know how this race goes, so we try and take it, you know, with a grain of salt once it's over, and certainly preparing for it, we know that it's a big deal.
What's it been like getting Briscoe integrated to the Gibbs fold?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Chase has been a huge I don't know what the right word is. I guess it's been different having, you know, the Chase around. In completing the four of us, Martin just he wasn't around very much at, you know, the last couple of years. So it's been fun to hear his feedback, especially like after Bowman Gray. It ended up being a really, you know, good test session for him because the tendencies that we fought there, the cars, it really related a lot towards Martinsville. So, you know, I thought he brought some good insight into what our cars did well and what he thought they did worse than his previous ride. So I'm excited to see that trend continue through the year.
With Kyle leaving a couple of years ago and Mark retiring, you're the junior senior to Denny. How does it feel to be, you know, so many years with JGR?
It's just a dream come true. I am so blessed to be in this position, driving the number 20 car. It truly is a dream come true, and I hope that hopefully I'll be in Denny's spot in a couple of years. Yeah, I just remember how big of a deal it was, you know, that, and the place was just jam-packed, and I remember I was talking to Austin Dillon pre-race, I'm like, is it always like this? And it was, I remember it sank in that, like, the Daytona 500 is just, it's bigger than motorsports, right? So you have, I compare it's literally comparable to the Super Bowl, right? Like, you have NFL football and you have NFL fans that watch NFL football, but then you go to the Super Bowl and you have all of the, non-football fans that watch the Super Bowl because it's the game. And that's the same way with Daytona, right? So we have all of our fans that watch every race, but Daytona it's bigger than motorsports because you have people that don't tune into motorsports that watch the Daytona 500. It's a big deal. So are you talking about like my dirt wins? Yeah. I mean, it's good. You know, I can't really say that it relates to anything that we do on the cup side, but, the fun factor is definitely back and it's refreshing. It's refreshing to, I mean, winning is always great and you need to win in this sport and it's drivers who, you know, come from nothing, the way that they get to where they are at is winning. And there are very few winners in the sport. And you know, I pride myself in being one of them. So that's been a big focus going into 2025. I've had successful NASCAR seasons, but not up to the standards that I expected myself. And hopefully 2025 is a breakthrough year for us where we can win a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly our mindset today is no different than what it was in 2024 or what it was in 2023. But as the season unfolds, you know, you learn more from it, and you we're wiser in 2025 than we were in 2024. And when I say we, as in the team, right? Myself as a driver for sure. So looking back at it, like three wins, that's not where we want to be, right? Like we want to be a 5+ win team, and we're certainly capable of it, and that's where we're striving to get to.
How will Gabler in this new position help kind of build that bridge since he's a winner himself? I mean, like multi winner. I mean, is that putting him in that role? Is that a benefit?
Yeah, I think it'll be really good having Gabler. He's a really smart individual, and now he's going to be pulling the rope for all of the teams instead of just the 11 or him being focused on just the 11. So I think it potentially could be a game changer for Joe Gibbs Racing. Yeah, I think it's definitely a mutual respect between us, and we understand, both of our stories. We literally grew up together racing online. So, I think there is, you know, a lot of similarities between us.
And can you learn anything here that you can transfer to Atlanta?
Maybe qualifying pace, but I would say that is literally going to be it. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy Atlanta style a lot more than I enjoy Daytona style. It does seem like handling matters a little bit more. Maybe you can control your destiny a little bit more at Atlanta, but still you're going to see big wrecks. And that's literally the only thing that I dislike about the Speedway stuff is the getting caught up in other people's messes is so common and so hard to avoid. And I think that tendency translates between both of them. That you hit it big there. The Toyota winning the Daytona 500 is a big deal. And I just go back to 2016 whenever they ran 1-2-3. They were in position to run 1-2-3-4 on the white flag lap. And that's what we're striving to get back to. So it's the next gen car certainly has changed the way that Daytona is and the way that it races. And Toyota, frankly, we haven't been performing at the super speedways. So we're putting a big effort into trying to improve our speedway performance.
And as mentioned earlier, you're now more and more experienced drivers along with Denny. How much of that
confidence does it build on you to kind of carry the torch for now and also long term in your career with JDR?
I don't know. I just think it's a slow, gradual, you know, increase in confidence and knowledge and experience. And, you know, that's one thing that's very unique about our sport compared to other sports is the older you get, like it's almost like the better you get, because the more experienced, the wiser you are. And it's fun because the young guys have different strengths and the old guys have different strengths. And right now I'm really, you know, I'm in a really good spot where I'm still young enough to have the strengths of a young kid. And I've been around long enough now where I have a lot more experience to go with it.
What was your reaction to the new Xfinity fastest lap bonus point, knowing you were tied for second in the category last year?
Yeah, I am super excited about that. It's the fastest lap deal, it's been good to me, so I can't wait for it. You're saying just like being in a better mood?
Yeah, maybe just overall attitude. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Is there anything
there? I don't know. I mean, I probably, you know, it's good to, I guess it would be like going on vacation, right? Like if you don't have anything to look forward to and you're just focused on your day job, if it's going bad or, you know, whatever, it can get a little bit daunting, but definitely getting a break from it and changing your focus to go dirt track racing on a, you know, midweek show or whatever. And then I do think that it brings a little bit of a spark back to your job.
So it's almost like it gives you a chance to get away from this bubble.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Hey, Christopher, so talk about the Xfinity fastest laps. Like, do you foresee that it might change strategy in, like, super speedways and road courses where people might dip for fresh tires?
Yeah, probably not at road courses. I guess if you're, you know, it's going to depend on the situation, right? Like if you have a bad, if you lose track position or something, it gives you something to race for. Speedways, I could see it being a huge factor with how, you know, the pack runs and you're able to drop back from the pack to get a big toe. That's going to be interesting to see if anyone plays the game trying to get that fastest lap on the speedway stuff. I would say that's going to be the biggest change with it paying now. Yeah, I mean, the cars have evolved a lot in a short amount of time, and we knew that they would, but it's been fun to be a part of it, and, you know, the teams are just getting smarter and smarter with the cars. The drivers are figuring out how to you know, maximize the race and the event, and we've seen a lot of evolution in the speedway racing for sure.
So confident, you know, after all these years, and you were confident at the beginning. I've known you for a long time. But what is your feeling coming into this Daytona 500?
Yeah, I mean, certainly from my first one back in 2020, you know, I remember it was just all about getting a good finish and starting the season off strong. And now that I'm a little bit more established in my role, like it's your understanding or. I don't want to say understanding because you understood back then, but it's more so about winning the Daytona 500 now. So we're here to win the Daytona 500 now.
And do you feel like confidence is something that, like, how does a driver get confidence? Is it purely by performance or is it age, you know, maturity? We forget Patrick Mahomes is like 28, 29, right? People forget how young these athletes are. Where do you get your confidence, which I think is at a new high for you?
I think it's different for every person. You know, you look at some guys and they ooze confidence no matter how their life or racing's going. You know, for me, it's always been off of results. But, you know, the sport is so tough because it feels like you're only as good as your last result. So, the more that you win, the more confidence that I've been able to get. And that's certainly the biggest factor for me. As a spotter, I'm going Tom Brady. He's just a really, really intelligent person, and Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he knows anything about NASCAR, but he's a smart guy, so I want him up on the roof.
So, you're not afraid of traveling at 200 miles an hour. Are there any things you are afraid of?
I'm deathly afraid of fire. Yes, absolutely. I bet you that would be a common answer across our industry for sure.
Okay, and then last one is, who do you think doesn't receive enough recognition as a Cup Series driver for their talent?
For their talent?
Yeah.
Oh, Alex Bowman, for sure. No question, Alex Bowman.
Hey, Christopher, you know, Jeff Gordon, 20 years ago, won his third Daytona. What, I mean, he was kind of a dirt track guy, kind of came up. And was he an influence on you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly he was an idol for me, yeah.
Do you think he paved the way? Because, like, you know, Tony kind of followed from the dirt tracks. I was talking to Chase, your buddy Chase. And he kind of said he felt like he was kind of the first guy who kind of opened that door.
Chase. Oh, he said that Chris Gordon was.
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the more, you know, getting Jeff Gordon and his talent level into the NASCAR's Cup Series, I think it definitely, you know, paved the way a little bit for dirt guys and made people start looking towards dirt racing for talent. And, you know, there's been a couple exceptional drivers that came up through there, like himself, Tony Larson, that, yeah, it's definitely, I think the more guys that have come up through that way make it easier for the next in the future.
Did it kind of open up the sport to more parts of the country, you think?
And
there probably were some guys from other states, but it seems to be southern rooted sport.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I don't know how to give you a good answer.
How about just taking it less into the mainstream a little bit? Saturday Night Live, these kind of things.
You're saying like dirt track racing?
No, him. Just as a person, the sport. He kind of took.
He took NASCAR mainstream.
A little more mainstream. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Did you notice that as a young driver coming up? You're a little.
I'm a little young. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's hard for me to answer that fairly.
Thank you.
Hey, one last question I wanted to ask you. You can't pick yourself as the winner of the 500. Who is your favorite?
I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe, fellow teammate. Gets his first win at Joe Gibbs Racing in his first race. I wholly expect it's going to be the exact same as last year. And, you know, it's just been the evolution of speedway racing ever since Next Gen came out. The pit stops, the way that the pit stops are with the single lugs and the tires getting changed quicker than the fuel in the cars, it is evolved into fuel mileage racing and spending the least amount of time on pit roads. So I think we're going to continue to see that trend for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just experience, and like you can go to the lead pretty easily, right? Whenever you before the green flag pit stop, but you learn that you're slower on the pit stop because you burn more fuel, and then you're at the back of the pack for the stage finish or the race finish. So, yeah, it's just experience and learning and doing that, right? And learning what happens whenever you burn too much fuel, or if you save more fuel than your competitor, you're going to leapfrog them. So, it's all about getting that track position when it matters.
Thanks,
thank you.